Hi, guys. Here's my morning routine. First, I drink olive oil. Next, I take an ice bath. Ooh, feeling super healthy.
If your health advice sounds strange coming from a kid, maybe it's just strange. Cygnos pairs AI with a biosensor so you can track your body's unique responses to food, movement, and more in real time, helping you achieve your health goals. Get $10 off select plans at Cygnos.com, Cygnos.com, with code SPARK. Cygnos.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
It's In This League.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Come again?
With Scott Bogman and Chris Welch.
Can't wait.
What does that do? Does that blow your mind?
That just happened.
What's up, friendos? Welcome into the In This League Fantasy Football Podcast Week 10 edition with Bogman, Welch, and our ranks. It's just us. Just a little bit of us. We got a lot of voicemails. We have a surprise voicemail, which I don't know.
Maybe a couple.
I'd always say there's a couple, but like, I gotta be honest with you, I don't remember the timeline, but we have a second parody song person who I don't know has done anything for football this year. Maybe not this season, maybe one
last year. Yeah.
But you guys might not be familiar. And if you are, you know, it's a treat. The one time Boom King absolutely dropped a mysterious bomb on us with a brand new song. Week 10 edition, and I think it might have to do with my boys by the bay. We've also got a brand new Jack Boyce cut that's coming in, and I'm going to just mysteriously say there's a couple new names in the voicemails this week, so maybe there'll be another murder mystery that we
A murder in Savannah.
Murder. We might have. I can say... We can at least break one other mystery from the last episode that we were. I don't know if we did this or the one before, but Boggs was bringing up the guy that on a Zoom call.
Left his camera on. We'll just say, yeah, you know,
he grabbed his keys and his pants and he, you know, his jacket. You know, well, what's the old, what's that, Blink 182? Remember the album, Grab Your Keys and Jacket or something like that?
Oh, I don't remember. I mean, that sounds like a Blink one. Don't ask me music things. How many years do we need this?
Let's see if I'm right here. Enema of the, oh yeah. Take out, dude. I'm so good. It was called Take Off Your Pants and Jacket. That's what it was. I was off there, but it was called 2001, which was like right as our graduation. So that was prime time us. Take off your pants and jacket. Yeah. Okay. All right.
I mean, you're like our high school graduation. What do most people remember 2001 for? Welsh? Come on. I mean,
wasn't really trying to go there or anything like that. It was just like, hey, this album has to be 2001. We happen to graduate. Bogman's like, yeah, and 9/11.
I mean, every single person listening to this podcast, when you said 2001,
not a
thought
chance.
Of 9/11, every not a one
chance.
Of them.
I will
every
bet you,
single no. human being, when they hear 2001, they think of that. Come on.
It's going to happen. One person's going to tweet and you're going to roll your eyes being like, okay, that's one. Then a mountain's going to come in. Not everybody. I didn't for 1 second think of 9/11 there. I'm not an anarchist, Bogman. I wasn't thinking. Well, I'm like, man, remember this album?
You idiot. I think of 9/11/01. That's, I mean, come on.
Like remember this album that defined our school years at graduation? You're like, those two buildings are gone.
Yeah, you're right. You know what? A lot of people are going to be like, why'd the NBA shut down in 2020? What was that all about? I don't remember anything about. Oh yeah, it was COVID. Oh,
we
now
didn't
I
graduate
remember.
From high school. Guess what? I'll say graduatees might. They might not talk about COVID. Graduates
graduated. So
I can guarantee you, not more than 50% went to 9/11. That's where your twisted brain goes.
Yeah,
I'm
twisted
God.
For remembering one of the most impactful events in my lifetime. I must be a sicko.
Take off.
I mean,
your
I am,
pants and jacket.
But it ain't for that. So
okay, well, what was the point? Where were we going? Oh,
because, about that hub ad.
Yeah. So, well, that's what it was Bogman presented,
knew
of course,
was fake.
Bogman was bringing in, you know, the things that he enjoys. And it was a Zoom call where a guy starts playing the Blink 182 album. Unfortunately on camera, he takes off his pants and jacket. And, you were like, I don't believe this is real. Cause the whole
and
point
it
was
wasn't.
Like,
I said the voicemailer wasn't real, and it wasn't. Okay. I was number one in running backs. My predictions are really good this week is all I'm saying.
All right. Well, we even got there. But the point was, is I'm always cynical of everything. You're not. And then we were table turn. I showed you the CNN situation of the guy that did a little Blink 182. But Bogman uncovered the mystery the specific one that we saw was an ad. They were mocking, yes, obviously, the situation that happened with the CNN. We should talk about his name again. CNN guy who jumped off on it. Let's see. Jeffrey Tobin. I just want to make sure we don't forget his name. Let's give heroes their due.
Tobin's nephew or something? I mean,
Jeffrey Tobin. That's a lot that we just got to here. 9/11, Jeffrey Tobin, murder mysteries. Also, as Bogman also just threw out, was the number one running back ranker on Fantasy Pros this past week.
It was number 117 in wide receivers. So
Don't worry about that, man. But what I will say is between him and I, he has now taken over the number one spot between us. Last week, I took a dominant stance, especially compared to where either one of us had been with the highest personal rank on a week. And you cracked that because you got 17th overall this week and the number one, numero uno, running back ranker. So how will you follow up this week, Boggs, by going 137?
Yeah, I don't know. We'll see. I'll probably back down into the 150s again this week. But
I was top 50 running back, actually, that I look here. I was at least top 50.
I mean, I just want the IDP ones. That's the one I care about the most, and they're not even up yet. So let's get the IDPs in here. I want to be number one. I was number one a couple times in IDP last year, and I haven't got back there this season. So that's what I want.
But congratulations, you know.
Thank you. You
solved mysteries. You were right about mysteries, and you were the number one.
It's great when you remember to hit submit on a Sunday. So yeah. I'm just kidding. I hit submit like the last 3 weeks, and this
it's a pretty good alibi though. You could just keep being like, I didn't hit submit. Yeah. I finished bad.
Yeah, me too. Well, it was real last year. Remember, it was till like week 10. I was like, oh, you can change him after Thursday Night Football. I didn't know that. You know, I wasn't changing anything.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
In this league,
somebody royally forked up. Somebody forked up. Why can't I say fork?
If you're trying to curse, you can't hear.
Full shirt.
Holy mother forking shirt balls.
I mean, it does like clearly say at the very, very top, but I get why you wouldn't, you know, read it and see the exact rules or anything. Yeah. You know, 9/11.
Well, at least you're an asshole, so that's fine. Yeah. So,
I mean, listen, the reason 9/11, right, Fox?
Yeah. 9/11.
11. Thank you, Family Guy. So what we've got for you today, we got a whole bunch of voicemails. So kudos to you guys and whoever is going to try to mess with us. Two parody songs. No Paris today, even though it's just us. I wasn't feeling good enough to get Paris to come and join us, but, you know, maybe next time. Bogman put together a couple debates that we'll do. We're going to give you our plays, of course. So we've got a robust week 10 breakdown for you. So let's get into the news. And by weeks, it is not by apocalypse, but you do have four teams, Baltimore, Cincinnati, New England, and the Jets coming off of by apocalypse, where there were six teams and everybody was hurt and everybody was dead. They're no longer because you're not really playing any Jets players, very few New England players, Cincinnati and Baltimore. There's only one Baltimore player, so you're hurting more in Cincinnati. So I think this one hurts a lot less, obviously, unless you have the, you know, awesome Joe Mixon, Ramondre Stevenson stack, then you're struggling just a little bit.
First of all, Joe Mixon is probably why I was number one at running back, by the way. I just have
higher
than anybody.
Probably.
I had him pretty high because Carolina sucks. I think I had him at like 3 or 4. So I had him pretty high up there. The Cincinnati being on by the Cincinnati and New England stack is probably it. But I was wondering, like, last week, I was like, man, not getting a lot of people showing up and to ask about starts and sits. And it was because you just have to roll with the guys that are physically on your team and playing games. So,
yeah, it was a bad week for last week. Getting into some news and notes, this happened like I missed this. I guess it happened like 15 minutes before we had started the Athletic Pod. And then we waited to the very end. Not that it really mattered. The news that we had received, though, was that the Colts fired Frank Reich. The new news we got is that they hired Jeff Saturday as the interim head coach. And that's wild because he has zero coaching experience whatsoever. The most coaching experience he has is that famous clip where he was trying to call plays away from Peyton Manning, and Peyton Manning told him to F off and stop trying to call plays.
Yeah, that was this felt to me like a, let's get somebody in there that the fans can't be mad about. Like, that's really what it felt like.
You're also going to get someone that's not going to overthink it for the most part. Just they're going to let it sling. Because the other thing is they're keeping Ehlinger at quarterback, which I think that takes balls. That takes someone who doesn't care about getting fired to keep Ehlinger in there because he's trash. And that team is playing trash right now. It's
okay.
Awful. Yeah. Who's better, also, Ehlinger or Colt McCoy?
Well, Colt McCoy. But I'll say this. Remember, I think part of the reason Frank Reich is gone is because they're not calling the correct plays for Sam Ehlinger. So, look, it's not good to have a quarterback that's limited. I don't think Ehlinger is much more than a backup quarterback for his career, right? I think him and Colt McCoy are probably a pretty good mirror with each other. But they got to call some correct plays. You got to run the ball more. I mean, I just don't understand what was happening. And I haven't liked Frank Reich as a head coach and play caller in his career here, because he was awful with Jonathan Taylor in his rookie season. You know, didn't run him. It was a lot more Nyheim Hines till halfway through the year. So I don't know. I just think that you're starting to see some teams switch, like Matt Eberflus for the Bears. He completely switched and he said, you know what? We probably need to lean into what Justin Fields does right, and they're playing much better. And Frank Reich just refused to do that. And I think that's a big reason why he's out. You know, obviously the quarterback has been an issue. You go to Carson Wentz, you take Matt Ryan, and all he's doing is throwing picks. And then your owner wants to see what Ehlinger has, because we know Nick Foles is hit or miss. So, it's not the best scenario to be in, so it's not all on Frank Reich, but I don't know. I don't think he was doing his job very well either. So
yeah, and we'll see.
We'll see what the new staff does.
Yeah, it's too impossible to know. It's too impossible to know. Similar to what we talked about with, like, I had mentioned in the game where they were cheering as soon as Malik Willis hit the corner, so it kind of keeps defenses honest. Hopefully they do the same thing. You know, play more short pattern stuff, screen plays to wide receivers and running backs, let him move around, bring defenses in a little bit more, and then you can potentially stretch the field out. So we'll see, but there's no coaching experience, so God knows, you know, who knows what the hell he'll do.
Yeah, I saw someone tweet, like, let's not forget that the last time Jeff Saturday was a head coach, his high school team went 4-8 or something like that.
For all we know, Jeff Saturday, his coaching style, he could stay up in the booth and just be playing Madden and being like, yo, this curl wheel is a really good play, let's run this one, guys. And then he's just playing Madden calls in there. You never know.
Yeah.
Some of the other big ones, Josh Allen is dealing with a UCL injury. I am not happy about this one. We'll see. I have a feeling, this is my gut, and it can be big, is that Allen is probably just going to push through this all year. But I'm really worried about what limitations are going to start to show, because
I just don't think there will be many, because UCLs are either real good or real bad. Like, that's kind of the thing. It's like a bruise and it'll hurt him to throw and he'll be okay. Or it's torn and you're just cooked for the rest of the season. So, but for this, like, you know, Deepak brought it up a couple times in a couple spots where he said he threw that big pass at the end of the game, a deep one, and he had no issue. Like, he got it way downfield. That was after he was already rubbing his elbow. He said that's a pretty good sign to that this is not going to be a major injury for him, and he should be okay. So I guess we'll see, but it's at least notable. So
yeah, I mean, and also pay attention for, you know, big corners. Allen needs Diggs needs Allen. And if Allen is not there, I worry a tiny bit.
It would be interesting if Allen can't go and we got Case Keenum back with Stephon Diggs against the Vikings from the Minnesota Miracle. Remember, against the Saints in the playoffs. So
on the Packers side, we talked a decent amount about this. X-rays were negative for Aaron Jones and he could play this weekend. My personal feeling is he will not. The team has nothing to press him for. I don't think they will. I think this is going to be an A.J. Dillon. So I am currently ranking A.J. Dillon a little bit more in the he's going to start. And even if Jones does play, I think you're going to get a little bit more Dillon. So all the crap we talked, I think at worst, Dillon solidifies more of a flex option than usual because I think he gets more usage. And if Jones is out, then it's a little bit less of a question. Dude, I was shocked, though. I was doing the kind of the same stuff we did on ATL over on The Athletic, and Jake was like, AJ is RB1 almost at this point. And I was like, Jesus, I don't agree.
I couldn't
get them to trade Mixon for Walker. That was the other crazy one, too. Like, Walker was not in
really
the happening. Nope, not Walker. Okay. ETN, yes, but not Walker.
All right. I mean, that surprises me a little bit. But, you know, I don't think it's all on A.J. Dillon, but it's probably a lot on the Green Bay line, but he does not look the same as he did last year at all. So yeah. He could be an RB1. I think he has the ability to be, but he's not shown any of that ability this year at all. What'd you say? Like, over the last month, he's like RB, you know, 36 or something.
He has like 39 or something like that. Yeah. And I think what's important to take out of this, the context of this isn't like debating truthfully about a mid RB2 and a low RB1. That's like the same thing. So don't get into that semantics. I think the bigger argument like I had was, is AJ Dillon, even if he's the number one back, an RB2? Trustable. Is he even in that range without Aaron Jones whatsoever? The bigger thing is Aaron Jones looks like he'll be okay for the most part. I do expect him to miss a game. Also on the big side of the news, and then we'll burn some others, Dan Campbell said about Swift that we're hopeful he can give a little bit more this week. And I had asked these guys, I don't think I asked you this question, Boggs, is do you have 100% level of trust that DeAndre Swift will get back to the Swift that we know the rest of this season? And I'll tell you the answers I got.
Absolutely not. No, I don't have any assurance. And I would say that I don't doubt DeAndre Swift's skill at all. We've seen it. He was my number one running back over JT in that draft, right? Like, I love DeAndre Swift, but I just think he's proven that he is not healthy enough to be a back that gets 20 touches. He needs to be a complimentary back to someone else. Jamal Williams needs to get more carries than him and more touches, just to take a little bit of the burden off of him, because he's been too injured over his career. So no, I would say we don't have any assurance that he'll get back to the same Swift that we saw before.
Yeah, you repeated almost exactly what Jake was.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You want to punch me right now, but you won't.
Why don't you punch me in the face?
Punch me in the face!
Hey, Derek, you know what's always good for shoulder pain?
What?
If you lick my...
In this league.
Just letting people know that, I don't think this season you're going to get that Swift that you paid the early dollars for. And his health is a problem. Jamal Williams has looked great. He is the team leader there, and he's going to continue to get a bulk of carries. It doesn't mean that Swift isn't going to get a run, but at this point,
he's
just
doesn't mean he's not
healthy.
Skilled either. He's incredibly skilled, but so is Eli Mitchell.
It's the same deal. He needs 15 touches ish, right?
Yes.
And it's like, what do you get?
Antonio Gibson
last week.
Antonio Gibson. There's very few of these guys that end up like Kamara and Eckler, right? Guys that can touch the ball 25 times and be relatively small. Or Kamara's not really small; he's more underweight that for a regular RB in the league, but or for his frame, I guess. But you know, guys that you wouldn't think could do that are doing it. It's few and far between. Those guys are. We got a guy coming out in the draft this year. I don't know if you've seen him yet, the Welsh guy named Deuce Vaughn out of Kansas State.
Yeah.
He is 5'5", and that is maybe being generous, but he is the entire offense for K-State. He's unbelievable. We would call him dynamic Welsh. He was very dynamic player.
Very Darren Sproulsy. So,
yeah. I mean, that's a good comparison. Brian Westbrook, you know, small backs. I don't think, once again, I don't think that guy is going to stand up with 25 touches in the NFL. He needs to be a complimentary back. So, that is where I'm at with Swift.
And Swift will be that, I think, the rest of this year, regardless.
Yeah.
So you might get a game or two out of him where, you know, he starts to go, but you know, that word of we hopefully he'll give a little bit more this week. So what is that? Is that eight touches? You know,
20 snaps. Let's double his snaps, right? He had 10 last week. So 20 snaps this week, maybe 25. I mean,
and then what? Maybe 10 touches total that you're gonna get? Like, we'll see.
10 to 12 somewhere.
Having a guy that adamantly is saying he is not right out there is a little bit of a problem. And Jamal Williams is going to get the bulk, so you would have to bank on. So, I mean, I don't know, dude. I mean, is there a question of even starting Swift this coming week, even though he's going to give a little bit more? Like, if you had something semi-viable. I mean, like, honestly, like,
yeah,
things are getting rough right now. If you got Swift or Kareem Hunt, who are you starting?
I think I'm starting Swift still, just because, I mean, the rushing defense in Chicago is 30th, right? It's still real bad. So, like, we know Swift doesn't need a ton of touches to make a big impact. So I think I'd rather have him over Hunt. But if it's him versus, I don't know.
Jeff Wilson Jr.?
I think I'd still go Swift there. But, like, I'm trying to find someone that's comparable. I'm not really able to find it. What about Swift versus Connor getting like way more run this week? Eno get barely anything. I mean, I think Connor's dead. I don't know why Connor's your best friend last year and you think he's deceased.
Well, because he just doesn't do anything anymore. The team doesn't run anything through with him. I mean, Antonio Gibson.
How about this? Miles Sanders or DeAndre Swift?
Miles Sanders. Easy.
Antonio Gibson?
Easy.
They're playing Philly. That's a tough matchup.
Well, Gibson Philly's or playing Swift? Washington.
Gibson or Swift?
I might go Gibson, to be honest. I don't know. Maybe Swift. I mean, like you said, the thing that works to an advantage is it's a piss poor defensive side up against DeAndre Swift. I'm just worried. Like you said, what was it? 10 snaps? If you get 20 snaps, they're probably going to try to utilize him. But are they comfortable giving him 10 touches after what they did last week? I don't know. The words that you see don't make me feel like we're going from 6 to 13 or 14.
We're hopeful he can do a little more. Hopeful and little, not words you want to hear about your running back.
Yeah, well, 5 carries and 3-4 catches? I don't know. Like, if you want to take, I think it's more risk than it's worth if you have viable options. If you don't and you're sitting and you're like, well, okay, should I start my Nyheim Hines? Nah, just do your thing. Just do your thing. But if you are one of those people that's sitting there and you have AJ Dillon and Swift and, I don't know, maybe Damian Pierce and Tony Paul, you got all these type of things, like, go with the best. Don't worry about the name. Go with the best matchup for the week. But if you really don't have anything true, then I might consider not playing him. Some of the quick burners here. Romeo Doubs going to miss 4 to 6 weeks with a high ankle sprain. That sucks. Ezekiel Elliott did not practice on Monday. If you own Tony Pollard, that's good. The 49ers have opened up the 21-day window for Eli Mitchell, but you can rest, my friend. You can take a nice little 3-week break because you're not needed anytime soon. David Njoku plans on playing this week, Boggs. That's a big plus off of that ankle.
Yeah, I mean, it's also like, you know, are we going to get the L word for him limited here? So don't like that. And it's against Miami. I don't know if it matters that much. We'll see.
Chuba Hubbard was back at practice on Tuesday, expected to return for Thursday night football as we're recording this. There's another nice matchup. PJ Walker is going to start at quarterback on Thursday night for the Panthers against the Falcons.
I am legit surprised. Are you surprised? Yeah, I'm
not as surprised as you, but you were like, well, he's done. It's over. Blah, blah, blah. Like, they can't have that quick of a turncoat type of like, now this guy, now that guy. Like, they need him to fail one more time to be like, oh, okay, yeah, this wasn't just a one bad game thing.
Okay.
Dude, the week before, guy threw the furthest pass in NFL next gen stats history, an absolute dart to DJ Moore, which they're probably considering in the back of their mind. The guy's got an arm, just everything fell apart last week. So I think they're giving him the benefit of the doubt.
Okay. I mean, look, I think we just know that the answer for Carolina is a quarterback in this draft, whether it's Stroud or Bryce Young or somebody. Like, they just have to get one because this is bad. It's
Christian. Christian Watson didn't sustain a concussion on Sunday, but it doesn't matter because he's worthless. Gus Edwards expect to be back after the Ravens bye week. So you can not kiss your Kenyon Drake stuff goodbye, but you can put it aside a little bit.
Dude, Kenyon Drake looks better than all those other guys. Why isn't Kenyon Drake getting the run? I don't understand. I know Gus has been there for a while, but who cares? Like, it's the NFL and it's the running back position.
I think they'll just work both in. Dan Campbell also coming back to him said that they're hopeful to get Jameson Winston back in December. So that's like a little bit of an update.
Jameson Williams.
Sorry. Yeah. Sorry. Mike Tomlin said that Pat Freiermuth is expected to get more work now that Chase Claypool's gone. Kenny Golladay is supposed to come back this week. That's a who cares. And Mike Vrabel said he's not sure if Treylon Burks will be coming back this week. Also in a doesn't affect your fantasy team if he comes back or not.
Okay, that is true because, I mean, they're especially with Malik in there. I think Tannehill will be back this week. But he also said in that Treylon has been staying in shape. And he said in terms of that, he's probably at his peak right now, which is, I mean, you know, I know he's injured, but at least he didn't get fat and saggy like he did in the offseason.
In all the games he played.
Yeah, honestly, yeah. I mean, so, and the fact that no one has stood out at receiver anywhere between running backs, tight ends, or wideouts for Tennessee, there's still opportunity, should he come back soon, to do something. I'm not saying that he's going to be good, but I do think he's the best wide receiver on that team right now, and I think he's a good player. So if they do decide to throw the ball more than 10 times, I think he could be something, but we'll see, you know.
Let's get to the main event. It's a guest episode with Bogman and the Welsh. Bogman is going to interview Welsh, and Welsh is going to interview Bogman for some player debates and our plays of the week, followed by the voicemail. So, friends, don't go anywhere. Friends, if you guys love ITL or like it in any general way, we would love for you guys to come and hang out with us over at InThisLeague.com, which is the Patreon. InThisLeague.com will take you straight over there, and you guys can sign up today. I believe I heard from a little birdie that Dynasty Football ranks are getting a little makeover,
getting a
here.
Facelift. That they'll be ready by Saturday. I'll spend a big chunk of Friday if I don't get it done earlier in the week doing those. I have quarterback done, just started on running back, so we're working our way through there. I don't know that I'll have an overall, but I'll definitely have a by position for sure. So
within the next week. So that's what we'll say. Within the next week, we will have updated dynasty ranks over there. And for as little as $5, you can get access to the ranks that we post. If you want to do a little bit more, you can come in and get in the GroupMe rooms, which is our community. You can hang with dudes. You get access to us. And we've got a football-centric, you know, set of rooms like the start and sit room and the football room. But if you want to expand it, we've even got baseball, betting, movies. We got our club, the captains only room, all that type of stuff, and usually get direct access to very specific things that we do. First access usually goes to them. So if you guys just want, that's the other thing, just support us, support In This League. We're independent podcasters. Go to InThisLeague.com. Come and sign up today. We'd be very grateful. This Thanksgiving, we will be thankful for you, my friends. Bogman put together some player debates here. Very sneaky, sneaky. Why don't you give us a little info about your player debates here, and why would you do this?
All right, so I just want to take some temperatures here, see if we can't get in any fights about these. But what I did was I did their points per game for the season and then over the last month, the last four games, so since week 6, 7, 8, 9. So we'll start out at quarterbacks. I got two quarterbacks, one tight end, four RBs, four wideouts. So let's start with Tua versus Justin Herbert, Welsh. And for the season, Tua is fifth and Herbert is ninth in points per game. So pretty close. But over the last month, Tua is fifth. I probably missed at least one game in there. And Herbert is 23rd. Obviously, Herbert has been hurt a lot by, no Allen, no Mike Williams. So you're going down to Josh Palmer. And when those guys were playing, they were definitely not 100%. So I don't know, man. Tua has been propped up by Tyreek and Waddle and just a good offense that's humming, and it's kind of looked a little clunky in the passing game for the Chargers. So who do you take between Tua and Herbert rest of the season?
Fox, I gotta tell you, I don't think this is close. This is Tua. This is an easy one. Who's taking Herbert here in any scenario? Like what is he? Here's the only argument you have. Last year, Tua has better weapons. He's been more efficient. Herbert, his team is banged up consistently. Their best option when things are banged up, go to the running back. There's not no Mike Williams, no Keenan Allen. I mean, there's nothing good going on with the Chargers. This is hands down Tua, and I'm going to have Tua probably ranked in the top five at almost every point in the season. I mean, you're going to have Tyreek Hill as number one every single week. Why would you not have Tua? So I think this is
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds,
Hi guys, here's my morning routine. First, I drink olive oil, like a lot of it. Yep, that's good. Then, I stare at a red light. It's the kind that helps your cells positively glow. Oh, wow, really bright, okay. Next, I take an ice bath. That's how you melt your fat and fix your, I don't know, other stuff. Ooh, yep, feeling super healthy. Can't feel my toes. Breakfast is raw liver. Okay, here we go. Oh, real good.
If your health advice sounds strange coming from a kid, maybe it's just strange. Cygnos pairs AI with a biosensor so you can track your body's unique responses to food, movement, and more in real time, helping you achieve your health goals. No fads, no fear, just your signal. Get $10 off select plans at Cygnos.com. That's Cygnos.com with code SPARK. Cygnos.
To betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
I swear to God, I'll pistol whip the next guy that says...
In this league.
Hey, Farva, what's the name of that restaurant you like with all the mozzarella sticks?
In this league. Oh.
Easy two, and the only reason that you would really be sitting on this is, you know, feeling like you're overreacting to an early part of this season, though it's more than halfway through, and considering what happened last year. I mean, do you feel any different about this?
No. I mean, I'm Tua for the rest of the season. I'm a little interested to hear, what do you think about Tua versus Herbert just moving forward here? Like
Dynasty? Yeah, that's a more fun
because
question.
I'll just tell you, coming into the season, I had Herbert at 5 and I had Tua at 10. And right now I think I'm going to keep Herbert at 5 and I'm going to have Tua around 7 before I do my last, you know.
So you gave Tua a bump, but he's not going to pass him.
I don't know. I just, like, in terms of skill, it's 100% Herbert and it's not close, right? Like, Herbert can run. He's got a bigger arm, you know, all that stuff. But I mean, the weapons are so good in Miami and it looks like they're going to be there for a long time. So I don't know. It's like, this is like Tua's job and really fantasy relevance to lose. I just trust Herbert to stick more than I trust Tua, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, I'm trying to look, like, I guess the credit I would give is Herbert still's been able to maintain. He's got less picks than, he doesn't have less picks than Tua. He's got less picks than a lot of other players. And I'm Joe Burrow, Lamar Jackson, Patrick Mahomes. His touchdowns are in the teens. He's only got two less touchdowns than Tua, even though it also has been one more game. The thing that's concerning is, like, I know we don't get too focused on it, but ADOT's one of the lowest I'm looking at here in the top 20. It's the second lowest of any of them at a 6.8, where the average depth is 9.7 for Tua. And I mean, it's clear about the weapons. Now, will that change with a healthy Keenan Allen? I don't know, because Josh Palmer is playing a good Mike Williams role. I think the play might still be Herbert based on some of the serious injury stuff we've gotten out of Tua, if you're thinking really smart. But how long is Tua going to have these two weapons in front of him to succeed? I don't know, dude. I think the tides might
also
be turning.
Also, you have to consider Tua's health.
That's what I just said. I just said that.
I understand that. But I'm just saying, like, that I think it's a bigger than just a passover. You know, he had the hip surgery coming out of college. He's had these massive concussions. So it's, you know, he's definitely undersized for the position in the NFL. So I guess the one thing they're going to have to work on is just keeping him clean back there. And is, you know, how healthy can he be? That's probably the second biggest factor outside of the fact that I just think that Herbert is the better quarterback. You know?
I guess in Dynasty, I would stick with Herbert, but I think, like, if I were
that could easily,
like,
change
you,
by the end of the season.
If I had Herbert at 5, I think I'd have Tua at 6. That's how I think I would have it.
So. Yeah, you know what? That's where I have them. But I have 5, 6, 7, and I'll just throw this name in there. I got Kyler Murray between them.
Rather have both of them over Kyler at this point.
Both of them over Kyler. Yeah. I still look, Kyler has the same size issues that Tua does for sure, and he runs more, but he hasn't been as hurt as Tua. He's also done the hidden injury thing. I think that's what he did for a lot of the second half last season, which makes those modern warfare numbers look better too, because he clearly had a injured shoulder and he was playing through it. But I think Kyler Murray could improve substantially once Cliff Kingsbury's fired and they bring in somebody else that can actually run an offense and a defense. And
sorry, wait, are you taking Kyler over management. Tua?
Yeah, I would.
Oh, okay.
Just the rushing upside is huge, and he's got good wideouts there too. I mean, Marquise Brown, true. DeAndre Hopkins, and Rondell Moore, and Zach Ertz are all a pretty good combo for whoever the next coach is. The second one that I've got for you, another quarterback one. Let's go with Kyler versus Geno for the rest of this season. It's 7th versus 8th in terms of the season. Murray is 9th since week 6. Geno fell down to 16th. Obviously, DK missed a little bit of time, and they've gone run heavy with Ken Walker. So is this how far are you going to trust this Call of Duty, curse of Kyler Murray? Are you going to take Geno over him? Are we going that far?
Nah, I'm going to stick with Kyler on this one. I think this one's still pretty easy too. The return of DeAndre Hopkins makes this a solid bet. You're going to get Marquise Brown back. They're continuously going to be playing from behind. I like Geno, but I'm going to bet on the offensive rushing upside of Kyler Murray, like you said, over him. Like the Geno story is great, but it's not something I'm going to take him over. Unless the scenario I would entertain is trading, again, I don't know why you do this, but trading a Kyler Murray to a team where you got something plus Geno. Like, I think,
okay.
I don't know if they're close fair. Enough where I would call it to almost anything, because I don't want to say that, because I actually just think Murray's upside is like a different tier higher. Like you said, he's the 4th highest scoring quarterback since week 4. Geno is number 10 on a total points basis. On a per game basis, Kyler is actually, let's see, 8th it looks like, and Geno is down here at like 17 or something like that.
16.
Yeah, it's like almost a four point difference between them. So I would take Kyler Murray.
Okay, let's go to some running backs here. We don't really need to spend more time on that one. No. Ken Walker versus Saquon, rest of the season. On the season, it's 19 versus 5. But since week 6, it's 5th versus 14th in Walker's favor. So Ken Walker versus Saquon Barkley for the rest of the season, Welsh. What do you got?
Well, Barkley. This one's not. This is fun. It's not happening. You know what's going to feel really ridiculous about this one? After Saquon Barkley goes for 230 yards against him, they're the worst. Houston, I should be saying. They're playing Houston this week. They're the worst of all teams in fantasy points. From them to the next team, they give up 3 more points than the next team, the 31st.
That's got to be the Panthers is the next team, right? Because they just gave 55 to Joe Mixon.
From a point, it is the Chargers, actually. It is, they give it, and the Panthers are, well, dude, the Panthers are 2 less points than the Chargers. So that means the Texans are giving up 5 more points per game to running backs. The
Texans are ugly. Yeah,
they are ugly. Plus, they're giving up 20 more, the Texans, 20 more rushing yards than the next team, which is the Chargers. 154 yards per game to running backs. Saquon Barkley's going to eat. We love Ken Walker. There's injury issues here. Saquon's got those. But, like, I'm down with the rookie
Walker
stuff.
Walker missed
but
the first couple weeks. So
yeah. You know. I mean, they both have some injury stuff. This one's not close. In a dynasty, it's a way more fun question. But this is, I mean, is this Walker to you?
No, I'm still going to take Saquon. But I think it is much closer than we're making it out to be here. Just because Walker is Mariano Rivera, man. He is an absolute closer. I just, like you said, I'm not as convinced that the Seahawks are going to be in a position to win a bunch of games down the stretch. They have completely, I mean, I'm going to lose a $100 bet about the Seahawks record. I know that for sure because I just thought this roster was so bad. But Pollyanna Pete's got these boys playing great, specifically Geno. So I think as long as the light doesn't burn out on Geno completely and he turns into PJ Walker, right, that the Seahawks are going to have a good offense with Ken Walker doing stuff. But it's just way less reliable than Saquon. And I can't believe I'm saying this, way less reliable than maybe Daniel Jones. He looks pretty good now. And he's playing with garbage wideouts, Danny Dimes is, and he's getting it done. So, all right, let's move down to Alvin Kamara, who's eighth in points per game on the season versus Travis Etienne. Similar situation, 20th in points per game. But since week six, Kamara is sixth and Etienne is eighth. So obviously Kamara, most of his production comes off that six touchdown game or whatever, or that enormous game that he had a couple weeks ago, not six touchdowns, but a bunch of touchdowns in yards. But Etienne has been pretty damn good since getting this role and James Robinson being gone. So I'm testing the waters here, Welsh. If you are rostering Alvin Kamara and someone comes along and offers you Etienne, straight up, would you do it? Or would it have to be like Etienne plus a wide? I mean, I know Welsh logic is if I'm trading Kamara or I'm trading Etienne, I have to get a wide receiver on top. But well, I think which one just, do you want? Yeah, that's just trade
logic. I think trade logic is like you don't trade running backs for running backs straight up. But like, who would I want to bank on the rest of the year? You know, it might be surprising. I think I still want to bank on Etienne. This is an Etienne one for me. Kamara has come on hot, but really had a cold spell. Etienne has not had any of those cold spells. I don't trust the Saints in general. There's a part of me that looks at like we're seeing a lot of positive touchdown regression in a lot of players. You know, Eckler had it early on and kind of came back through, and you're seeing Eckler or you're seeing Kamara a lot more involved. But, you know, in this instance, I think Travis Etienne is just a better overall bet, even though there's a little bit more scoring. Even if I expand this out to week four, Kamara is seventh ranked. But again, that is so I wish I could take off that 1 week in general. Etienne is 10th in overall points, and they're within. Well, again, you can't even bank on Kamara because he's got that one game makes his total points absurd. He's like third or fourth or something in total points. So I would go with Etienne on this one.
Do you disagree? Oh, okay. No, absolutely not. I'm with you. And I think my reasoning is a little more of, I mean, it's pretty similar. I mean, I agree with all the stuff you said, and it's just the one enormous game for Kamara that is propping just his stats up for sure. But I mean, you have to take that into consideration that Kamara can win a full week for you. But my thing is, I hate Andy Dalton. I cannot stand watching Andy Dalton anymore. I don't know why we're not going to see Jameis Winston. I don't know if they're going to go with a quarterback change this week, because they absolutely should. Look at what the Ravens did to them on Monday Night Football. They had extra days to prep for that game, and they looked god awful. They looked so bad, and Kamara had a terrible game. So for me, I'm going Travis Etienne because I don't trust the Saints offense at all. I think they're predictable, specifically with Dalton, and it's bad. So if they go to Winston, I'm a little more on the fence, but I don't think they're going to. I think they're going to stick with Dalton because that seems like that's Dennis Allen's deal. So,
well, I would love to see too, if Dalton went down, I could totally see the team being like, we're going to start Taysom Hill. We're going to start Taysom Hill before they start Jameis.
I mean, I don't, no way. Like, everyone should be fired if that happens. Leonard Fournette versus Jamal Williams rest of the season. Well, let's see. How far down are we on Fournette? Because he's 11th. Jamal is 16th. But for the last month, it's 23rd for Fournette and 21st for Jamal. Obviously, Swift missed some time in there. But Fournette looks terrible.
We had two left, and we're just kind of consolidating a little bit. And I knew you were going to pick this one. I 100%. Well, the other one really is too close.
The other one's too close. Yeah.
I think this one's good. I think this one's a better conversation piece. Did you already say both names?
Yes. Fournette and Jamal Williams. Jamal is 21st the last month. Fournette is 23rd. And Fournette looks god awful. And everyone in the industry is ready to just bury Leonard Fournette in a shallow grave. I think I'm the only standout that will protect Leonard Fournette at all costs.
So, I'm going to tell you, I wanted to say Jamal Williams as I sat on this, but I'm going to stick because Brady is still that quarterback. He's still that guy there. There's definitely the potential for more confidence coming off of most recent win. I am worried a little bit about Rashad White. I think this one is going to still be nasty close. But to your point, though, where everyone is selling him off, if you just go like week five on, he's still a top 10 in overall scoring as far as running backs go. He scored, now he's played five and not everybody has, but he's top 10 in full PPR. He's actually number 9 in RBs. Now, if I go by average points, it's going to knock him down just a tiny bit. But Jamal Williams doesn't crack that, you know, and we know that Swift is going to get pushed in a little bit more. Actually, Jamal Williams in that time averaging 11.4 points per game compared to Leonard Fournette? So this is a great question, but...
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
In this league.
Oh, I remember.
I love
you. In this league.
Oh, I remember.
Yeah, I remember that.
I'm going to side back onto Leonard Fournette because Brady's not going to let him disappear regardless. Maybe Rashad White takes a little bit away from him, but you know, I feel like the way they would do it would be to give Rashad White some early down stuff, and they would continue to put Leonard Fournette in the passing game, get him back in the passing game, and he's going to be the goal line guy. So for those, and Jamal Williams is a full-on goal line guy, and you could argue the Lions offense being better rest of the season than Tampa Bay at this point, but I'll go with Leonard Fournette. But I wonder if this is one that could actually get done.
I think it could. I think people are tired of Leonard Fournette, and I understand that. But the Bucs offense hasn't been good. I would particularly be interested to see what people think after that last drive that Tom Brady had on Sunday night on Sunday night or whatever it was. I guess it was the afternoon game, not the night game. That was the Chiefs. But his last drive where he won the game, are people kind of seeing maybe Tom Brady's back? Like, because I swear every time we put Tom Brady in a body bag, he's a zombie. He comes out of it and he's back to life. He's the Undertaker GIF. You know, every single time. So I'm just not ready to count out Tom Brady yet. Wide receivers, Hopkins versus Adams rest of the season. Ooh. I'm not going to do any of the stats. Just tell me, who do you want for the rest of the year?
I'm going with Davante Adams. I love the DeAndre Hopkins one. I think it is closer in that range, but Adams is back. And you saw how that offense needed to focus, and ain't nothing changing. Waller's never coming back. Nothing is going to change. They're going to get the ball 17 times to Davante Adams the rest of the way through. That's how they have to try to win. So Hopkins is cool and everything, but I'm going to go with Adams.
Yeah, I'm going with sticking with Davante too. That one, maybe not as close as I made it out to be. This one, I'm very interested to hear what you have to say. Chris Olave, who's 19th for the season versus Juju 25th. But over the last month, Olave is 23rd and Juju is 6th. In PPR points. So your thoughts on Juju versus Olave for the rest of the season. Welsh, what do you
who
have
is
to say
shocked?
Here?
Who is shocked that you would throw one of these in? I'm not whatsoever. Well, I'm gonna go with Chris Olave. Now
wrong answer.
Since week 7, you're correct. Juju has definitely been up there. He has 2 games registered. One was a monster game, averaging, and he's 14th in scoring. In that time, same time, Olave is 20th. Averaging 13.6, the weapons get spread around. Welsh, I think Juju's getting, I think Juju's getting more comfortable. But they added Tony. I just don't believe that he's going to
quarterback.